high school was not a particularly awesome time in the life of Arthur J. O'Connor. That social fairy dust that some people seem to have, he didn't have it.
I was a wallflower. I was a nerd. I was incredibly intimidated by everybody.
Look at O'Connor today, and it's not hard to imagine a young guy with the same gangly frame, but light brown hair instead of gray. Whatever he lacked in cool, O'Connor had in brains. He went on to college, worked a couple decades on Wall Street in risk management, and then enrolled in a PhD business program, where he's written a paper that's gotten quite a bit of attention. The title?
The Power of Popularity, Empirical Study of Fan Counts and Consumer Brand Stock Prices.
The Power of Popularity. By the way, we're in a cafe just downstairs from O'Connor's day job in Midtown.
My theory was, you know, it's like in high school, does being really popular help you win friends, help you enhance your performance? And it turns out that, yeah, popularity does seem to help brands.
To test this, O'Connor tracked 30 brands with the most followers on Facebook.
So it would be Abercrombie & Fitch, Adidas, Aeropostale, American Eagle Outfitters, Best Buy, BlackBerry.
He followed those companies' likes on Facebook for a whole year while also tracking their daily share price. And what O'Connor found astonished him.
99.95% of the change could be explained by the change in fan counts.
You're saying that most of the change in a company's stock price, the overwhelming majority of it, correlates to the Facebook likes that day or in that period?
Yes, that's correct.
That's insane.
Yes, it is. But it's true.
It's not necessarily that Facebook likes caused shares to rise or fall, but the admiration a company gets on social media, O'Connor says, seems to be a good clue about stock market performance. Naturally, people on Wall Street are interested, and many of them are already buying sentiment feeds and folding them into the algorithms they use to buy and sell stocks, kind of like a digital mood ring. Rich Brown is head of financial analytics at Thomson Reuters, one of the largest providers of sentiment analysis.
Typically, our clients are hedge funds and institutional money managers that would look at interpreting this data in different strategies.
From his window above Times Square, Brown can look across the Hudson River to New Jersey, where Thomson Reuters supercomputers regularly scan 4.5 million news and social media sites. So let's try this out. Rich Brown is going to read my Twitter feeds and tell me what his supercomputers would make of it.
So you've got one in here. Google and publishers reach deal on book scanning. So one of the things here, reaching a deal is actually seen as a positive phrase. It's associated with Google. That could actually be very good news on this particular company.
We go through a half dozen of these. Tweets with words like love get a positive score. Disappointment and jerks get negative scores. So computers can read news and opinion, similar to how people do, but way, way faster. But does that really give anyone an edge?
I'm not yet convinced that this is particularly the right approach.
James Liu teaches finance at NYU Stern Business School and has a small hedge fund, but he's not using sentiment analysis to invest. Not yet, anyway.
A lot of the research that's coming out right now is funded by the sentiment providers. So they're trying to sell this data. And so their research tends to be a little bit on the biased side.
Liu says it's possible someone is getting rich off of your tweets and Facebook posts, but you probably won't hear about it. Because when people on Wall Street are making tons of money, they don't tend to proclaim it on Twitter. For WNYC, I'm Ilya Meritz.